Let's turn to the Word of God in 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. And 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 1, we'll read through the end of the chapter and verse 58. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. These are God's words. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that He was seen of James, and of all the apostles, and last of all He was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Now, if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are bound false, we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at His coming. Then cometh the end, when He shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when He shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For He must reign till He hath put all enemies under His feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For He hath put all things under His feet. But when He saith all things are put under Him, it is manifest that He is accepted, which did put all things under Him. And when all things shall be subdued unto Him, then shall the Son also Himself be subject unto Him that put all things under Him, that God may be all in all. Else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Why are they then baptized for the dead? And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage if it me, if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body, as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Albeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy, and as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Those are God's words. This chapter concerns the very core and heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the great act of Christ upon which Christianity stands or falls. And he addresses that, that even if Christ has not been risen from the dead, then the preaching is in vain, what we do in worship, and then also the faith that we have is in vain. So the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ is the core and the very foundation of Christianity. And this really addressed first in through verse 11, and then through verse 19, he refutes those who say that there is no resurrection of the dead. Now we know it is impossible that there is no resurrection of the dead, since Jesus rose from the dead. And through verse 34, since there is a resurrection of the dead, Paul instructs the church in Corinth on some other doctrine. And then through verse 50, the apostle answers an objection to the fact that there is the resurrection of the dead. And he takes this as an opportunity to instruct the church of how great of a change there will be made to the bodies of believers at the resurrection. And then through verse 57, we are instructed of what a change will be made for those who will be living when Christ returns, as well as the great victory the righteous in Christ shall have over death and the grave. And so the final instruction, with all this in mind and heart, with this hope in the resurrection of our bodies, how should we live now? Because Jesus absolutely rose from the dead bodily, and because there is a resurrection of our bodies, how should we live? It says, verse 58, it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Why is it not in vain? It's because of the resurrection of our bodies. And so we will all be raised to newness of life. And we give praise to God for that. And Jesus Christ, who rose from the dead, which is where our hope is based in the resurrection. It's because He rose from the dead. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we give You praise. We're thankful for the very fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead bodily. And we're thankful that so many witnessed His body risen. And not just His body apart from His soul, and not apart from His God nature as well, but one person, God and man in two distinct natures, forever. And we're thankful for this. We're thankful for the gospel. We're thankful for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because in that fact, and in our belief in that fact, we have a guarantee. Our hope is found in our comfort, knowing that our bodies will also be raised up from the dead. And so when we consider death, we consider our death bodily, we will be placed in the grave in our bodies. We have hope even now that our bodies will be raised up, and that our confidence does not rely upon the grave. But we're thankful that death is conquered, that Christ has won the victory over death for our sakes, as He poured out His love for us in rising from the dead, and thus now being exalted even to the right hand of God and the Father Almighty. And so, Father, give us that hope and give us that comfort when we consider death, and when we consider the death of our loved ones who are in Christ. Give us that comfort and hope. Father, we do also pray that You would care for our bodies. We're thankful that we are shown here that we are not just souls. Our focus is not merely spiritual, but body and soul. And Father, we abhor that heresy of Gnosticism, which exalts in the soul only, or the spiritual. And we're thankful that You've created us body and soul, and that You will raise up our bodies from the dead. And we're thankful that our souls will be made perfect in holiness in Christ. For those who are believers and who have believe in not only the death, but also the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we pray that You would sanctify us body and soul, and You would cleanse us of our sin, not only the sin of our flesh and the lusts of our flesh, but, Father, all those iniquities and struggles that we go through every day, and our habitual sins, put those to death, those which often we might say plague us. Father, we hate them, and they are a plague to us, and so turn us from them. Cause us to be repentant, truly turning from them and not turning back to them. Give us the victory in Christ over them by Your grace and Spirit. We're thankful that even now that we do have the victory, because our bodies will be raised up from the dead. And so we're thankful for that guarantee and the seal that we have, even the seal of the Holy Spirit, guaranteed by our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we ask also that You would heal those bodies that are struggling today. We pray for the Gorodetskis who are sick, and Dina and Patricia as well, who are sick and not feeling well. Pray that You would strengthen them and build them up, give them all greater immunities. They have often been sick, and so, Father, grant them greater health. And then, Father, we pray for all of us as well, that You would strengthen our weak muscles and bones, and cause us to stand, and stand firm against the wiles of the devil, against the temptations that come not only from him but our own flesh. And Father, may we turn to you from them, and may your name be given all praise. Now, Father, today we also pray for Tim this week, as he'll most likely have an opportunity to address his co-workers and give him the words to speak. He desires to speak the good news of Jesus Christ to them. We pray that they would be called to repent and believe unto salvation in Jesus Christ. And give him the words for that, that he would not trust in himself, but upon your word, which is life-giving in your Son, because it's your word. And Father, we even consider how life-giving it is, for you spoke into existence life and creation. And so you have done with our own souls, of those who are your people, by your Holy Spirit. And so, Father, bring that about. And also all of us, as we witness and testify the good news to our neighbors, grant us more opportunities to speak it and to proclaim it, to proclaim Christ risen from the dead. We're thankful that our celebration of Christ risen from the dead is not curbed or contained into one week or one day of the year, but we celebrate it every day as Christians, but especially on the Lord's Day. It is the day that He rose from the dead. And we give you praise for this. We give you praise that of the gospel, every aspect of the gospel we find in the Psalms that we'll sing, and we'll sing about the resurrection in a moment as well, Lord willing, Father. And we're thankful that you give us that perfect hymn book, the book of praise that gives us every single part of not only the gospel, but how to live in this life as your children, as your covenant people. And so may we make a good use of the Psalter, and which teaches us what to believe and our duty that you require of us. Now, Father, we also pray today for those churches without ministers in our presbytery. And so we pray for the congregation in Washington and Colorado Springs and San Antonio. For these, Father, that you would provide ministers, men to fill these pulpits, that the believers there, your people who are in those places, would have a consistent pastoral and preaching ministry. And we pray for the men that you are going to call. We pray that they would be faithful and zealous. We pray for those who are already pastors and serving in our denomination and presbyteries. We pray that you would make them faithful and zealous and keep them that way, that they would not turn to false teaching, that they would not turn to the right or to the left, but follow after Jesus Christ on that narrow path, and that they would lead the sheep in the same, that they would not come under judgment, as we learn in Ezekiel and Jeremiah, that happens to bad shepherds or evil shepherds. Father, we don't wish that or desire that upon any of the ministers of our denomination. And so where there is error, we, even including myself, we pray that you would turn us from it to the truth, and the truth alone found in your word, that we would not preach according to the methods of man or to make people happy in the pew or in the chairs here before us, but Father, that your name would be praised, that your word would be proclaimed faithfully according to as you have given it to us, with the application that you give to even our lives here today. And so, Father, make us not only the pastors, make them faithful, but make us also, all of us, faithful hearers, and that we would believe what we hear from your word, and that we would obey you and live accordingly for your glory. Now, we pray that this nation, as we prayed this morning, we pray that this nation would covenant with Christ. We pray for our rulers, our kings and princes and governors and presidents, etc., that you would cause them to believe unto salvation the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that they would know the resurrection and have hope in the resurrection, and that then they would rule according to your word and not fear man. Same for ministers as we just prayed. That your name would be praised and this nation would be turned from its sin and the judgments that should come and will come unless we turn. And so, Father, purify this nation just as we pray that you would purify the church and just as we pray that you would purify our families, each one here. And so help us to honor marriage. Help us to love our wives and husbands and that we would respect each other and sacrifice one for another, especially husbands for their wives. May your name be praised. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.